I want to welcome this morning Philip Bryant. Let's give him a hand. Philip here. Last weekend, his twin brother Nathan was here.
Sorry about that.
Philip is our missionary to Canada, right up in the Vancouver area. And our church has been up there many times to help him in a summer event that they put on to reach their community for Jesus. And our team has gone up there historically and helped in a park event in the afternoon where we go up and we put on some games for kids and some art crafts for little kids, and so that the adults of his church could mingle with the parents and make contacts there. And so part of the reason why we are having Philip come today is because we're going to generate this team for this summer in August. And and so he'll be talking about that. All right, so he's going to share with us today also from God's Word. So let's again welcome Philip. It's great to have you
all
here,
right,
brother.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you. Wow. Well, I got you guys all set up by bringing my brother in here and offending everybody. So, of course, I've been at Auburn Grace several times, and, of course, you guys have been so kind and brought teams up, and then they're like, Nathan walks in the room, and he doesn't say hi. They try to give him a hug. He's like, what are you doing? And so so it's okay. It's my twin. We really are twins. I wish I could tell you 1,000 stories about how we've messed with people's minds without even trying. But we're good at offending people because I'm a highly friendly people person, and Nathan actually is able to think. And so we share our gifts together. It's quite amazing. But we want to say thank you for Auburn Grace. You guys have been helping us for a long time. Every summer you bring up a team up, and that really helps us. We're a small church in the city, just outside of Vancouver in Surrey, and we just haven't been able to figure out how to just grow. But what we have done is reach back into our community, a very diverse, very multicultural community, and you guys have brought teams up to help us to reach back into that community. And we're really praying that you would consider, actually make a decision, because it's coming quicker, that you would decide to come up this summer and help us again. Can you guys get excited about that? Who wants to get excited about someone else going? All right. Now that you got those hands together, make a decision and come on up and help us out. We could really use your help. So don't kind of sit on the fence going, I think that would be a good idea. Love to have you come. We don't make you do anything that crazy. Just the shaving of the head and that ink stuff. Really, don't worry about that. That was all stories. It's not really true. No, but it's really good. And so I had a little video, but I won't be able to show it to you, but that's okay. I will show you this picture because I mean, I think that's just an amazing gift that God gave me, a beautiful family in spite of me. That's unbelievable, and we've been so blessed and so thankful for all that God has been doing, and I wish I could tell you a lot more. As we said, yeah, we've got this thing that's going on. I had a little picture here of what happened 2 years ago when you brought a team up. And you recognize some of those people? Yeah, pretty awesome peeps that came up and helped us out, but I had other pictures, but we couldn't quite get the video going, but that's okay. But this morning, we're going to talk about compassion. And we're going to talk about forgiveness. How many of you know that probably the hardest thing to do in your life is to forgive? How many know the sweetest thing to ever receive in your life is forgiveness? Yeah, and so these two things are interesting. How we desperately, like, if you're going to give me something, if you're going to give me a gift, I mean, the greatest gift my wife can give to me probably about 1,000 times a day is forgiveness. I mean, in my life, I desperately needed forgiveness because I've been a real bonehead at times. Sometimes I've been very selfish. Sometimes I've just been me, not even knowing that I'm hurting someone, and I walk on top of somebody, and I don't even know it. But I know that what I know is that when there is no forgiveness, everything's broken. Everything's broken. Falls apart. Relationships fall apart. And we can try to pretend and hide, but how many of us know when someone isn't forgiven you? How many of you know? When you walk into that family reunion, you walk into that situation, you walk into wherever that is, and when you know that the forgiveness hasn't been brought, all of a sudden you just know that hasn't happened. You know, the Bible talks about sin being what brings death. And some of my theologian friends have a wrong view of death. They don't have a biblical view of death. They kind of almost have an nihilistic view of death. A biblical view of death is simply separation. So when we have spiritual death, we actually have separation between us and God. But sin brings death all the time. Not just eternal death, but when I sin against somebody, I actually become dead to that person until forgiveness is brought in. because there's separation between me and them. How many of you can see that now that we talk about it that way? You can see that, can't you? And this reality of forgiveness is a very, very important thing. Forgiveness is huge. See if I can actually make this remote work. You think I can? Hey, it says forgiveness up there. I'm getting better. Okay. Webster says this, to give up resentment or of a claim or of requital of, to grant relief from payment of, to cease to feel resentment against. Can we say that last one? To cease to feel resentment against. That's what we're really kind of aiming for. The other stuff is cool, but I can say with my mouth, and I can even sign a check saying I forgive the debt, but emotionally, how many know that's the harder part? You get letting go of that one, letting go of the resentment, letting go of that guy. That's huge, unbelievably huge. Berkeley had this thing on their website, and it's interesting to me that forgiveness is such a powerful deal that even secular people understand how important it is. Not just Christians, but secular people know how important it is. At Berkeley, they said, according to that research, there are these compelling ways forgiveness is good for us and our relationships, our community. First one, they said that forgiveness makes us happier. Who knew? Forgiveness makes us happy. Research suggests that not only that happy people are more likely to forgive, but that forgiving others can make people feel happy. You want to feel happy today? Don't worry. Right? Forgive someone today, and you'll feel happier today. Yeah, there you go. Especially when they forgive someone who they feel close to. Really important. Forgiveness can actually make you feel happy. Forgiveness improves our health. When we dwell on grudges, our blood pressure and heart rate spikes. Signs of stress would damage the body. When we forgive, our stress levels drop. And people who are more forgiving are protected from the negative health effects of stress. How many of you can see people who are bitter and angry and they look like they're 20 years older than they should be? Yeah. Well, stop looking at me. That has to do with this centerpiece. But forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is really important, and it can relieve our... So studies have suggested that holding grudges might compromise our immune system and make us a lot less resistant to illness. Forgiveness sustains relationships. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Even these guys at Berkeley can tell us some truth. When our friends inevitably hurt or disappoint us, holding a grudge makes us less likely to sacrifice or cooperate with them. Us husbands have never noticed that in our marriages. No, I'm just kidding, okay? Because it happens in any relationship. Of course, as men, we like to complain about how hard we have it, which undermines feelings of trust and commitment, driving us further apart. Isn't that true? This reality of relationships. Studies suggest that forgiveness can stop this downward spiral and repair our relationship before it dissolves. Are you sitting in a relationship that's broken right now and you cannot see the way out and you know you're on the stupid circle, the squirrel cage? Whoa, here we go. We're in the cycle again. The only way off is forgiveness. The only way off is forgiveness. Forgiveness is good for marriages. Most of the time, spouses who are more forgiving and less vindictive are better at resolving conflicts effectively. Who knew? A long-term study of newlyweds found that more forgiving spouses had stronger, more satisfying relationships. However, when more forgiving spouses were frequently mistreated by their husbands or wife, they became less satisfied with their marriage. There are certainly people out there in the world who are very, very forgiving. In fact, they have no boundaries and to the point where they forgive and they continue to be abused. And what we're not suggesting is that's ever right. So please don't misinterpret what I'm going to say this morning. Forgiveness has to be connected to truth, too. There's a reality to that. So, but yet we also recognize that we could hide behind that, but most of us are probably not in an abusive situation. We're just not willing to forgive. And that's just really hard for us. Forgiveness boosts kindness and connectedness. People who feel forgiven don't only feel more positive towards someone who hurt them, they also are more likely to want to volunteer and donate money to charity, and they feel more connected to our people in general. That's why Phil had me come this morning to preach about forgiveness, so the budget would make it next year. Okay, maybe that wasn't the point. But that's true. When we don't feel so connected, part of forgiveness is our reality is we're so self-involved about our own pain that we can't think to give out to others. Isn't that true? And how many of us know that God likes to take the whole world system and how we think and turn it upside down on its head? Doesn't he do that? Well, I don't feel very loved. Why don't you love somebody? Well, I don't feel very... I mean, if you just do the opposite of what you're trying to get and you start to give it away, what does God always do? He returns it. And we're like, logically, that doesn't make, my bank account doesn't work like that if I give up. Well, actually, it might. God's order is different than our order. We become self-protective. We actually lose all of the good things that can help us. And so we see forgiveness is one of those things. Forgiveness can help heal the wounds of war. A research-based forgiveness training program in Rwanda, for instance, was linked to a reduced trauma and more positive attitudes toward the Hutus and the Tutsis. A study of people who learned forgiveness skills in war-torn Sierra Leone found that they reported feeling less depressed, more grateful, and more satisfied with life, and less stressed afterward. Perhaps most famously, South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission is widely credited with encouraging forgiveness and reconciliation after the end of the apartheid that was there in South Africa. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the commissioner's chairman, has argued that forgiveness is the path to true enduring peace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, if you take out your notes this morning, you have a chance to write some notes down. You might want to take some time to write some of those notes down this morning. Talking about forgiveness. One point I want to make this morning is simply that maybe I might do this. Well, my clicker is no longer working. It is there, but not up there. Okay, well, that's great. Okay, well, good. I'm going to really mess everything up now. All right, maybe. All right. Maybe. There we go. I'm really messing the whole thing up because I was looking at this one and it wasn't keeping time with that one. So, all right. All right. One more. Maybe. Maybe. All right. Maybe I won't use this. We'll see. Okay. I apologize. We're going to go back there. How about that? Now we know we don't know where we are. Okay. All right. This gives me a blank screen. Is that right? Look at that. Well, oh, that was maybe not the right thing to do. Phil said, Phil, if you're having trouble, just give it to me. And who knew? At some point, I was going to have to give it to him. Well, we're going to have a blank screen for a second, Phil, if that's okay. Here's a key idea that you're going to want to write down and think about. In fact, if you don't agree with me on this one, I'm actually going to argue with you. Lots of times I say, if you don't agree with me, just look it up, play with it. But I want to tell you something. One of the key things I discovered about forgiveness is related to judgment. Forgiveness is related, write that down. Some of you go, I know, but write it down anyways. Forgiveness is related to judgment. When we don't forgive, we see ourselves as holding the power of justice and judgment in the other person's life. Can we all agree? It's true. I don't want to say yes to that because I know it's true and I hate it. And I know I'm not God, but I want to be in this situation because God isn't helping me and I have to take control of this situation because if I don't, somehow I won't get any justice. Isn't that true? That's how we feel. Forgiveness. I'm not here to mock your pain or tell you that your pain is not worth anything. I suspect many of you, if not all of you in this room, have endured great amounts of pain. I'm not trying to belittle that. I'm trying to suggest that there's a reality to how we place ourselves in God's place. And when we put ourselves in the wrong order of God's creation, how many of you are seeing in today's society? When people try to change the order of God's creation, it's messing everything up. We see it all over the gender identity issues, all kinds of challenges. People aren't willing to accept God's order, and it's changing, and it's creating lots of pain. When we try to put ourselves in God's place, we create lots of pain. And when we try to be the judge of the universe, we don't do a very good job. And forgiveness is about judgment. We should desire justice, but we need to recognize we are not the judge. Can we say that together? We are not the judge. Now, half of you were willing to say that. The rest of you, let's try this again. Let's smile at you, okay? We are not the judge. Let's see, we gotta fake it till you make it. Ready? We are not the judge. There we go. We need to. That's so freeing. Some of you know that, but have not verbalized that out loud. And just to say that alone this morning may be the help that you need to make the next step. Because most of us, if not all of us, know what? We need to forgive. How many of us know that this morning? Put your hand up. Look at the friends around you and make them feel really guilty for not putting their hands up. Okay? So this is reality. We need to forgive. We know that. Important reality. Important reality. Listen. This key of forgiveness is we allow God to be the judge. And we're going to talk about that again later on, but that's a really important key. Here's some thoughts that come from the scripture. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He who is forgiven much loves much. Bitterness is a deep root. Unforgiveness is often rooted in our own self-importance. Oh, praise the one who paid the debt. How many love that song? Oh, praise the, right? We praise the one who paid that debt. So Scripture teaches us, and we can go to our next point. Where we are. Scripture teaches us some things. So now I've just made a bunch of noise, but now we're actually going to go to the Bible and actually let it speak to us. How many would rather just make me have you make noise and not go to the Scripture? It's a lot. Well, I can just say, well, Pastor Phil says, or I'm Philip now, I guess now, because he's Pastor Phil. I'm Pastor Philip. He says, instead of having to say, God says, because when we say God says, what do we know we're supposed to do in response to that? Oh, a lot of things God says I don't want to do. Anyone else with me on that? Like, are you no human beings in your room? That's unbelievable. Such a godly church. You guys are so beautiful. It's hard sometimes to obey God, but let's go to His Word. Let His Word give us confidence. Let His Word give us strength. And let's look to Him to teach us and to walk with Him. Amen, church? Let's do that together this morning. Here we go. So the first real point I want to give to you from the Scripture is Scripture teaches us that we forgive because we are commanded to. That's not always the best motivation for something, but it certainly is helpful when it's a clear line. Amen? It's not the easiest motivation, but it's a clear line. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive any complaint you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Boy, I hate that verse. Bear with each other and forgive any complaint. What? That you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's really important. Scripture's clear on this. We're going to go into this a little more, but it's really clear. Here's another point. You can write it down. If, your next slide there, sorry about that. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. How many like to be forgiven? How many of you realize that forgiveness is actually conditional? How many of you think that's not very theologically sound to say my forgiveness is conditional? How many of you don't like how that settles in our heart, that forgiveness is conditional? The Scripture actually teaches us this terrible truth. You think, well, you're whacked out, man. Get out of this church. Well, yeah, God gave His Son and freely given Him to us, and we can have forgiveness freely from Him if we surrender our heart to Him. And part of the way we know we've surrendered our hearts to Him is when we obey Him. And this is the reality of this point. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Can you say it with me? For they will be shown mercy. Who's going to be shown mercy? Huh, that's interesting. Matthew 7, 2. For with the same judgment you pronounce, just say it together because it's so much fun. For the same judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. What the? I need God's unending mercy on me. I don't need to be judged the same way I judge because I'm not a really good, nice person. I'm selfish and mean, and I want that person to pay. I'm not trying to be funny. That's true, right? Amen. That's how I feel sometimes. I get there. Listen, it's true. That's how we feel. And some of you in this room are here because you love Jesus and you want to obey Jesus, but you are angry and you're bitter and you have a hard time forgiving, and it's really hard. And thank you for being here this morning, even though you're still wrestling with your sin of unforgiveness. Thank you for trying to honor God for being here. But boy, do we need to get that out of here. Amen? We need to, and we know it. So let's look at it. There's a concept here that we need to get a hold of that's actually biblical. We forgive, we will be forgiven. Matthew 18, we know this amazing story, don't we? Matthew 18. It's a crazy, awesome story. He talks about how this guy, this king comes into the land and wants to clear up all of his debts and figure out what's going on. And he brings this guy who was one of his chief servants who owed him like buku bucks. And you know the story. You know the story. The guy owed him big, big bucks, and he says to the guy, pay me. And the guy says, I can't pay you. He says, well, then throw him in a jail and take his family and all his possessions away from him. And the guy pleads and says, no, give me mercy. And the king forgives him all of this debt, like, who knows, 30 million bucks, who knows what it was. And he goes outside the court, and he meets somebody outside the court, and he starts, this guy owed him like 100 bucks. He's like, you better pay me my 100 bucks right now. And the servant who saw the king forgive him, looks at him And he runs back to the king and says, King, you won't believe what this idiot just did. You just forgave him millions of dollars and he's throwing this guy in jail for $100 debt. And the king brings him back in. You know the story, don't you? The king brings him back and he says, you worthless, unworthy servant, you will pay everything. And he casts them into outer darkness. Wow. That's how God feels about forgiveness. Jesus gave us that story not because he's sweet and nice all the time, because this issue of forgiveness is not something he's going to negotiate with. This is not one of those compromising type conversations with Jesus. He doesn't make any room when it comes to forgiveness. He doesn't have any kind of, oh yeah, well let's kind of work, let the white lie. No, he doesn't have any space when it comes to forgiveness. If you read the teachings of Jesus when it comes to forgiveness, you try to tell me where he's going to give you any out not to forgive. And I'm not going to see it. And so we need to recognize this is Jesus and how he thinks. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. Now Mark 11:25 says, he says, when you stand to pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive it. That's simple but very deep, isn't it? How many of you know that this is not how you've been most of your life? There have been many times that you have prayed, I have prayed, put myself in this, and I have been holding something against somebody. But what does Jesus command us? When you stand to pray, if you hold anything against anyone, say it with me, church, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven will what? Forgive your trust. Does that sound conditional to you? How many of that sound like, am I the only one making this up? Or how many of you see there might be a condition on your forgiveness here? Now, I don't want to scare you, but I want you to understand God is serious about forgiveness. He is. James 2:13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. What? Did you see that? Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy, let's say it together, mercy triumphs over judgment. Boy, I'm glad about that last part. It's hard, that middle part. Here's another reason to forgive. It frees us. Ephesians 4:27. In your anger, do not sin. Does it say never be angry? Doesn't say that. In your anger, do not sin. But here's an important point. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Can you say that with me? Do not give the devil a foothold. I want you to turn to the person that you love the most, if they're close to you. And I want you to look at them. You think I'm kidding. You look at them right now. Don't, you check out on someone else. Just elbow them if they don't do this, okay? Look at them right now and say, do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? Great. Some of you, yeah. And some of you are going to say, well, stop giving me reason to. Right? Woo! We're going from preaching to meddling here. Not good. Hey, this is a reality, isn't it? We are destroying our relationships and hurting ourselves and hurting those around us because we're not willing to forgive. Hey, I'm not trying to suggest the things that we have to forgive are easy. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's so easy. What's wrong with you? I'm just trying to tell you that when you forgive, you free your heart. Amen? When you forgive, the devil doesn't have a way of jerking you around. When you forgive, you don't become a pawn of the enemy. You are now a servant of the king. Amen? And I want to be a servant of the king. Amen? Anyone here want to be a servant of the king? We want to be servants of the king, the most high God. We want to serve him. We need to be freed of not being controlled by the enemy who takes a foothold when we choose not to forgive and allow bitterness to take root in our heart. Amen? We need to agree with that. We know it's true. But some of us in this morning are hearing me and you're like, oh, I hate you so much right now because I just don't want to let go of this. And I hear you and I feel your pain. And I'm not mocking you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to show you through God's word that we need to obey him because God is good. Amen? And we are privileged to be his children and we can trust him even with those hard things. Amen? And so forgiveness is such an important reality, and we see it frees us. And here's the point I made earlier, but just from the scripture, God is the judge. You writing that down? God is the judge. Luke 6, 37, do not judge. Ready? And you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive together. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Wow. I want forgiveness really bad. And the truth is, I don't want to like to be judged either, because I make a lot of mistakes, and I desperately need mercy. And so what I better be is a person who's full of mercy and who's not judging and who's forgiving. Romans 12, one of the key verses to this whole concept. Romans chapter 12, I'm sure you know it very well. We're just going to look at it quickly here in verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful. Did you hear that? Do not repay anyone. But what about that person? Or what about the terrible they did to me? What about, no. Can you just say that word, anyone, with me? Anyone. What does that mean? Does it mean some people maybe? Or the exception is Pastor Phil? No, I mean, we're anyone. What does anyone mean? Anyone means anyone. I know you know that. I'm not trying to mock your intelligence, but how many of us know that we can run through scripture and not really think about it? We can. So let's stop. Anyone means anyone. So the scripture commanded by Paul, the apostle, here in Romans chapter 12, is instructing us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Isn't that, how many really love that verse? Isn't that a really great phrase, as far as it depends on you? Because how do you know, how many of you know that when it comes to the whole relationship thing, there's two parties involved? And sometimes the other party is just not willing. And there's not a lot you can do about it. You can try to love, you can try to forgive, you can try to bring mercy, you can try to be gracious, you can do all those things. But sometimes you have to draw a line, amen? And this is what's true. So this verse here helps us to see that. It's as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And here, let's say this verse together with me, church. Do not take revenge. A little louder, because some of you weren't really paying attention. Ready? Do not take revenge. Wow. My dear friends, think about this. Leave room for God's wrath. You know, if someone's going to bring the hammer, who thinks they can throw a bigger hammer than God? I mean, I know Thor is the son of one of the gods, and he's got a pretty cool hammer, okay? But Spider-Man stole it from him once. So, I mean, I'm just saying, God's got a bigger hammer than you could ever have, amen? You want to make this person really pay? Well, get out of the way and let the one who has the most power manage the situation. You understand? Let him deal with this. This is so important. And let's read this last part. God says this, for it is written, say it together, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says Philip. Wow. That's God's job. And when I try to do God's job, I am trying to be God. Well, I don't like that. Well, take it up with someone bigger than me. Like, this is real stuff. And as Christians, many of us have gone to church, we memorize verses, we pray, we do our quiet time, but we haven't actually lived in obedience to God and his word. And God is very clear about this issue of forgiveness. He's not monkeying around. He's not giving room. He's asking, he's calling, he's exampling, he's showing, he's leading, he's telling, and he's even sometimes threatening about the way we deal with forgiveness. It's really important we grab a hold of that. So, if your enemy is hungry, this is what my wife does. She feeds me. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Let's say it together, church. Do not be overcome by evil. Okay, three of us said that. Let's do it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, church, I need to tell you, God is so awesome, he's so powerful, and he's so able to bring judgment. I had a friend of mine, when we first moved to Canada, we were working hard to reach people for Christ, and we bumped into a lady, her name was Pat Bedford. She was in a very difficult place. I wish I had like an hour to tell you her story. I'm going to try to condense it in a very short window here. But her story is amazing. When I met her, she had been abused by her dad all of her life and had a child through her father. Then she was, he died, and then she married, and her husband was abusive, okay? And then she divorced him and married another man who was abusive, and her husband was the father of two of her kids. And when I met her, she had just come back from 2 weeks of trying to recover from the hospital because she had gone to her first husband, the father of her two kids' funeral, the same day that her husband who abused her was getting out of jail. And because she went to the funeral, instead of picking him up from jail for abusing her, then he got even angrier and he destroyed the house and beat the out of her. That's when I met Pat. So Pat would come over to our house on Tuesday nights. We'd have Bible study together, and I was a kind of a zealous church planter 20 years ago, really green of the collar, and really wanted her to know Jesus. And so every Tuesday night, I'd share the gospel with her because I'm that smart. Okay, so anyways, she heard the gospel literally hundreds of times. 9 months later, she has yet to receive Christ. She's getting ready to go to the court case about her husband who beat her, well, the third husband, whatever. Terrible, right? So she's going to the court case, and before she goes to the court, she stops in my office and she says, Pastor Philip, she goes, what do I do about this? She goes, I know that the government is going to let him off, and I don't like it at all. She goes, what do I do? And I said, well, what you can't do is you can't control it. There's nothing you can control. And you need to put him in God's hand. In fact, I took it to Romans 12. And I said to her, and she said to me, she says, Phil, she says, Pastor Philip, is he going to go to hell? And I said, I don't know, but I do know that if he never receives God's forgiveness, he will, and that's for sure. And I said to her, and she said, well, is there a real hell? And so we talked about that. And so it's really interesting. I thought this conversation was kind of innocuous. I didn't even see this conversation as important. But what happened is she goes to the courtroom, the judge lets him off, as she expected, and she comes back and says, I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what she did was she took the judgment she had over her husband, and she gave it to God. And she entrusted the punishment that was due him. She let go of it for herself, and she let God bring whatever judgment will be for that man. And what I thought was, Jesus died for your sin. That was the gospel that she needed to hear 1,000 times over. What she needed to know was God was actually the judge of the universe and will make things right. And that freed her heart, and that allowed her to come to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, God is the judge. He can do his job. How many of you know that he's much better at doing his job than we are? So let's just let him do his job. Okay, here's another point here. Really big point. You ready for this point? God has forgiven us. Can we say that? God has forgiven us. That's the best point ever. I mean, that's the whole reason I'm willing to forgive. I love God not because I'm so wonderful. I love him because what does 1 John tells us? I love him because he first loved me. Amen? And so I forgive not because I'm so wonderful and warm and generous, because God in his massive mercy and grace has chosen to forgive me. And I am a terrible sinner. I'm not really good at a lot of things, but I'm really good at sinning. Else? Being selfish, being proud. And I'm so innocuous, I can justify myself away from him. My wife looked at me yesterday and we were talking about something. She says, it really sounds like you're justifying yourself, honey. I'm like, well, no, I'm not. As I justify myself, as her comments are like cutting through my heart. Ah, I can't be wrong. I can't be evil. Yeah, you're a stupid sinner, Phil. You need God. You need his mercy. You need to humble yourself. Accept him. Ephesians 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ready? The person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, abides in those who've received him as their Savior. How many of us know that? Well, if he wants to live inside of us, we got to do some things. Not to grieve our relationship. It says here are some things we're supposed to do. How many of you don't want to read this? Okay, all right. I can understand. Verse 31. Let's read it together. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Oh, and here's the keystone. I'm always using this for against me. Just as in Christ God forgave you. What do you keep using that against me for? Because it's true. Amen? And I have all kinds of abuse. I've got all kinds of things I can look to and say, wow, 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 wow. But I'm going to tell you, no matter what any human being has done to me, I have done so much more to my God and my Creator. Amen? It's true, isn't it? And I have been forgiven by Him. That's why I forgive others. Listen, we've got a few minutes here. I might run a little bit over, but I want to bring a couple of the thoughts into your thinking. Those are the points, but here's some thoughts. Ready? When do I forgive? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, if you've come to church this morning and want to worship the Most High God, you want to worship Him, you want to honor Him, you want Him to be pleased with your life. He says, when you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something, I haven't done something wrong, or I'm not even angry at them, but they have something against you. How many of you have been in a situation where you don't think you've been wrong at something, but you know someone's holding a grudge against you? You know you didn't do the wrong thing, but that person is like, "Ear, peace out." Right? It's not my responsibility, it's their problem. Let me read that scripture again because it doesn't sound that way to me. How many of you see in the scripture God has a different way of viewing that? So, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. Don't worship God with unforgiveness in your life. How many think it's pretty clear? It's very clear. So when do I forgive? Immediately. When do I make it right? Well, they're not ready right now. It's not the right moment. They're a little bit upset. I'm not sure it's going to work out. I know. I got to give them space. And I'm going to tell you right now, when do you make it right? You make it right. Can you say it with me? Ready? Say it with me. Right now. Ready? When do we make it right? We do that right now. You think, oh, he's crazy. I'm not crazy. The God of the universe, who's looking out at all the things, He's trying to help us understand how to make life better for everyone, including you and me and His church. Amen? When we have right relationship and forgiveness in the church is healthy and loving and warm. And boy, who wants to be in a church where there's forgiveness and love offered? How many want to be in a church like that? Who wants to be in a relationship where someone is willing to forgive? I want to be in a relationship like that. Dear friend, don't miss it. We kind of make it all complicated, and you know, he's got to be a better preacher. We have better music. We have a better building. How about a loving church? Amen? How about a forgiving church? How about people of God that reflect the person and the character of God to the world around them? How many want to be a part of that? Don't miss it, friend. We can have fancy, fun, music, money, whatever, but we don't have forgiveness. We have nothing. And that's what God is saying. That's why it's so important. I know I'm about to run over time here, so I just want to tell you that that's happening so you can start to, you know, shut me down and stuff. But there's a couple stories I need to tell you. One, this happened in my church, and there was someone in my church who got upset about the music. Can you believe that? So hard to imagine. I know it's hard for you guys to even appreciate that. Okay, just you know. I said to the person, well, let me meet with you. And they didn't respond to my email, my text, my phone call. And then so I gave them a little bit of time, and so then I went to their home. They wouldn't open the door. So then I emailed, phone call, texted again, and said, let me meet with you. And then the husband is like, well, okay. And I come over, and then it's not okay. I can't go in. He meets me outside. We go for a 2.5-hour walk where we talk about everything in the universe. And I'm like, I like to talk with your wife. I like to make it right, whatever we need to do to make it right. Oh, well, what's going to be accomplished anyways, was the noise coming from the family. Well, maybe we will never agree, but we can certainly love each other and forgive each other. I mean, that can happen. We can hear each other out. I love to hear her. Oh, we're okay. So 6 months goes by. They're still coming to the church, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. What I failed to do was Matthew 18. See, look what it says in Matthew 18. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. But let me talk to my friend and make sure it's okay first. Let me get a consortium of other people who are going to kind of feel my pain and how right I am and how bad they are. I mean, I think that's a really good idea, to start getting your little group of people all antagonized against this person. I mean, that's the right approach. How many of you know it's the wrong approach and you still do it? Confess. None of you willing to confess, but you're willing to laugh because you know it's you, okay? We in the church stink at doing the right thing when it comes to making things right. Can we all agree? We stink at it. The Bible is clear about it. If someone hurts you, offends you, you're not to talk to everybody around you about how bad that person is and how much you're hurt. You are to go to that person, period, first. How many of you know that? How many of you know it's really hard? Okay, how many of you know that? Put your hand up. No, serious. We're talking to serious this morning. You know it. Let's do it. Okay? It's important. Because we don't want division in the body of Jesus and more pain. Amen? So that's dependent on each individual, not just the pastor. So this person sitting there, angry and bitter, I've knocked on their door, I've pleaded with them, I've emailed and texted and Facebooked and everything else and tried to get a hold of this person. And when they come into the church, they come in late, they leave early. Now, if they listen to you, you have won them over. Verse 16. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. What did I fail? The pastor of my church. I gave them the presumptive grace of, okay, they're going to get past this. They don't want me to talk to them, so I should just shut this down. How many think that seemed like the right idea? Don't overpush them. Don't go too far. Give them more space. How many think that really sounds like the best idea? But how many of you know that was wrong? I was required by God to go to one of my other brothers in Jesus, one of my elders in the church, and go to that person and try to work it out. You know what I didn't do? I didn't do that. So what happens is 6 months later, they start creating all kinds of problems in the church, and they whine and complain about everything, and they finally decide to leave, and they take people with them and cause all kinds of dissension. How many think that's just wonderful? How many think that could have been prevented had I actually pushed through what was uncomfortable, what was hard? I mean, I'd already gone, in my mind, the extra mile. I've gone to their house. I've talking to them. I tried everything I knew how, but I didn't bring a brother with me and go and say, let's talk this thing out. And so it says here, if they are not listened, take one or two others along, not before. I don't talk to everybody about it before it's not resolved. I talk to them after it can't be resolved by me and the other party. If they will not listen, take one or two others along so they may, every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And a foolish thing, I can tell you hundreds of times where I've tried to get people to talk about stuff. They'll tell me one thing in a meeting and they'll walk out and say something else. Anyone ever seen that? Yeah, that's why you have a witness with you. Helps to make sure those things are settled. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen to even the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. There are times when you need to excommunicate people who are not willing to listen and they refuse to deal with you. That's a pretty hard deal. But what I'm trying to say is forgiveness is what God is asking for us. Amen, church? God wants us to forgive. Amen? He's calling us to forgive. He's given us forgiveness. He's offered forgiveness to us. And when do we forgive? How many of you know it's right now? Right now. And I'm saying to you, don't delay. Don't wait for the right time. Don't wait for the right moment. Don't wait for the, if it finally works out. Go and try and first of all, get your own heart right. First of all, remember, who's not the judge? Who is? And I trust him and put it in his hands. And when I start to say, God, I forgive that person, I want to talk to that person with a part of grace, a heart of mercy, but I'm going to be clear. This thing offended me, what they said, what they did, how they treated me. Tell the truth and let forgiveness take its place. God wants forgiveness in our hearts and our relationship. Let's pray. Let's stand together to pray. Father, thank you for the kindness of this church to be so kind to me and our family, be so supportive of our ministry up in Canada, to even physically come and help us with our outreach to reach lost people. Thank you that they'd let me come and even share your word with them. Thank you they've been patient because I'm about 5 minutes over and they're still here listening to your word, listening to you. Holy Spirit, let's not miss anything this morning. We had communion, a clear example of why we look to Jesus for his forgiveness and grace. Lord, today, if there's anybody here who's harboring a bitter spirit, if there's anybody here who's confused about something that they need to make right, if anybody here is feeling a pull against something that someone else in this church is doing or in their life, Lord, would they make it right today? Give them grace, give them mercy, give them love, and may your love fill them up so they might have strength to do it. I pray for your blessing. I pray for the reward of forgiveness that we talked about and all the benefits that come from forgiveness. Lord, may you just pour down your blessing and your mercy as someone in this room, as many in this room, walk in obedience in that very difficult place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, don't go yet. We're out of time. We're going to be dismissed. Philip's going to be in the courtyard today to greet you, to say hello. We want to encourage you to consider coming to Canada with our team and to be a part of that so much. I just want to ask you one question. This week, you sent me the slides for this presentation. What day was that?
Thursday.
Isn't it interesting, and I'm just going to say this as your pastor, today we had communion to talk about God's forgiveness. And I had scheduled Philip to come a couple months ago. I had no idea what he was talking about until Thursday. And this is what he's talking to us about today. Wow. Maybe God is doing something in our church as a whole. Thanks so much for coming. Have a wonderful day today.